podcast about people putting together great renewable energy projects and examining how energy policies help or hurt the development of clean local power. My name is Wade Underwood. This week, John Farrell speaks with David Blittersdorf, CEO of All Earth Renewables, a mission-driven company that was a key player in the launch of Vermont's renewable energy program for distributed renewable energy. We kicked off with a discussion of how Vermont got its standard offer or feed-in tariff program back in 2009. Here's John and David now.
Looking at policy over the years, especially at the national level, we weren't getting anywhere. And so we looked at our state and said, what can we do here? And found an opportunity to, the state wanted to move ahead on what can we do to move renewables, wind and solar, specifically, and a utility called together a group of us and had a facilitator and said, you know, we want to advance this idea of green zones to move renewables into certain areas. And I got to the meeting and said, you know, guys, we really need to do something that will actually work. And I brought up, why don't we do a feed-in tariff? And within 2 hours of the end of the meeting, we all agreed in the room, this is what we're going to do. So within, you know, a period of months, we got it to the legislature and got the utility, Green Mountain Power, to back it. There was a lot of contention about what the right price would be, but we wanted to legislate a price because we wanted the legislatures to say, here's the price for these things, let's go. And we were successful in getting the law passed and got it going.
You know, I should add for folks that maybe aren't familiar with the feed-in tariff or standard offer model that a traditional strategy for getting renewable energy on the grid is for a state to pass essentially a percentage goal of the state's energy sales that have to come to renewables. And by default, that puts the utilities in charge of a process that's largely done through a request for proposal that tends to be biased toward larger producers who can, you know, have the resources to go through that, but also involves a lot of one-on-one negotiation then with the utility about the kind of price you're going to get paid. The feed-in tariff or the standard offer program is completely different, really putting the onus on the utility to figure out the best way to connect the projects by standardizing the contracts and the length of the contract and, as you mentioned, the price. Is there anything that hasn't worked out as well as might be expected for a program that makes it so easy for folks to do renewable energy projects?
Well, the standard offer in Vermont worked incredibly well. The first tranche that went in for the 50 megawatts was divided into four sectors, wind, solar, hydro, and farm methane. And the solar side got about 10 times as many applications in for their 12.5 megawatts, so it had to go up to a lottery. And so the winners were picked just, you know, out of a hat. And So it stimulated a heck of a lot of projects because folks said, well, 30 cents a kilowatt hour, and we had a state tax credit at the time, the federal tax credit. It looked like a good deal, even though solar panel prices were higher than they are today. And a lot of people came to put projects in. One of the problems since this initial round was following on legislatively, they've only added roughly 7 megawatts a year for the whole program. So it's basically has been stopped. We aren't getting anywhere. And really, we should have this open-ended, like what Germany does, that, hey, you offer a price and you don't go and limit based on capacity. You just say, you know, build as much as you can. Our utilities have been very supportive. The interconnects aren't much of a problem, and our permitting through, we have statewide permitting here instead of local permitting, and that's gone really well. So on most things, it's worked out. It's just that we have this capacity problem, and then how we set pricing going forward. One of the, as the issue I said earlier, that we set the initial price for all these technologies legislatively, and then our public service board and public service department have set pricing through working groups and consultants in the future, and that slowed things way down. And in the last month or so, they're working on a reverse auction mechanism, which we think in the trade is the wrong way to do it. You know, start out with a good program, and now we're trying to fix it again.
So it sounds like, you know, one of the big problems was just this overall limit on capacity that you sort of have, not only a price constraint in the sense that you're setting the price for renewables, but also limiting capacity. But then, you know, on the other side, you now have maybe a mechanism for setting the price that's going to be sort of defeating the purpose and to some extent of the program, which is to make it very simple and transparent for the participants.
Exactly. Yeah. This reverse auction mechanism, the RAM that California has attempted to do and others, is really a dead end. Basically, it goes to whatever the lowest bidder goes into to set the price. But we found and tried to convince the state that when you do a process like that, you're going to get a low price, but nothing gets built because the lowest bidder is the one that can't do it.
Right. So, you know, I'm curious, we have a bill actually up in the state of Minnesota, where I'm from, that will do a program kind of like this for solar. But what's interesting about what Minnesota is trying to do is that the bill essentially splits that price into two pieces. One is to ask utilities to make essentially a value of solar calculation, in which they calculate how much solar is worth to their grid system. It's a solar-only program. Mm-hmm. On a standard contract. And then the other piece of it is a publicly funded incentive. So there's the same sort of setting a long-term price that will, you know, make projects work, but doing it from kind of two different pots of money. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious, you know, given your experience and now the changes to the Vermont Standard Offer Program, if that approach seems like it might be a good way to go or a bad way to go?
Sounds promising, and not sure how it would work here. One of the things that we keep pushing is that, well, our largest utility now actually came out and a number of years ago put in a solar adder for net metered solar, and they added 6 cents to retail rates and said that's what solar's worth. So it turned out to be about 20 cents a kilowatt hour here. And so the utility does value the solar. And we have a rate right now for the feed-in or the standard offer of around 27 cents. So when you have a 25-year fixed price at 27 versus today's retail solar value of 20, you know, they're basically in line. And it's quite easy to sell the public that these are reasonable prices. It's not like we're asking for 50 cents a kilowatt hour or something. It's all in line. And, you know, our biggest problem is really lifting the caps on sizing. We're limited to 2.2 megawatts for wind or solar on all these, and we want to raise it to at least 5 megawatts, and we want to get rid of this cap of 7 megawatts a year because nothing's really happening.
Now, the original program was a 50 megawatt program, and I was trying to figure out where that would put it in terms of, you know, a percentage of the state's electricity sales. And obviously the program is now continuing to grow, albeit slowly. You know, is the program a significant one? And even, and I guess even more to the point, are those 50 megawatts that signed up, are they getting built?
The solar side has been built. We went and we built the 12.5 megawatts. That's basically been built as of end of last year. The additional going forward are starting to be built. That's on the solar side. The wind side, basically nothing's been built. So there's a 12.5 megawatt chunk sitting there. The hydro is not built, and the farm methane isn't built. So the only successful really big piece was the solar. So when you look at the 50 megawatts, you know, I think a total of maybe about 20 has been built. And with the average capacity factors of all these technologies, solar being the biggest built, you know, we're talking about 20% capacity factor. So you got about 4 average megawatts that were built. And our load in Vermont averages 800 average megawatts. So, you know, we aren't over, we're 0.5%. So it's been successful in getting going, but as far as where we're going as a state, we have a state energy plan in place that sets a goal of 90% renewable energy for all energy, not just electricity, but all energy by 2050. And if you look at all energy, we're about 4,000 average megawatts we need to do. So we've got a long ways to go.
Now, it sounds like, you know, you've mentioned both a pricing problem with the reverse auction mechanism for setting prices and then the annual capacity cap. And I'd kind of taken down a note about what plans there might be to expand the program, but it sounds like in some ways you're playing a little bit of defense right now to kind of to keep the program in a shape that makes it usable.
Exactly, we are. We had a good start, but there's always pushback. And, you know, in tough economics times, everybody is saying, well, we can't spend an extra penny on anything. And, you know, cheap natural gas has sort of made a mess of things, but that gas bubble will burst someday, and who knows exactly when, but it's going to be a long time before 100 years go by. That bubble is going to burst a lot sooner than that. And so, you know, we're in the stage of, well, you know, maybe we should just burn gas and import gas-fired electricity more or do something else. But, we think in the next year or so, because Vermonters understand global warming, we have a governor that understands this and made it a big deal. So we're going to move ahead, but it's a little bit of a slog legislatively to push again, but we're doing that.
For folks working on, you know, community-based renewables or what I like to call democratic energy in other states, what would you recommend in terms of state policy that they focus on? Do you think the standard offer program is the way to go? And if so, you know, what are the arguments you feel are the most persuasive?
Well, standard offer has its place, and it's really in Vermont for the bigger systems. We have a couple of standard offer systems that are solar systems that are only 10 kilowatts. But that's not really where it works the best. It works best for the, you know, hundreds of kilowatts to the megawatt size. And we, in Vermont, we have a very good net metering law that allows group net metering. It's a virtual net metering system that allows anybody in one utility to net meter with each other. So, and that's up to 500 kilowatts. And we're seeing a lot of interest and a lot of installations going in under our net metering and now with the groups because, you know, that's community-based stuff in the more local area that you can put in 150 kilowatts of solar and then have multiple folks credited to their bills. And we have a very simple system, you know, compared to Colorado and other places. We have one of the simplest out there on the group net metering. So, we have this solar adder that everyone in the state that net meters has to get the benefit of solar at 20 cents for every kilowatt hour they generate, even though they use it themselves. So, you know, we're doing well on that side, and that's the other piece of the puzzle of, you know, you work on the utility side, the bigger projects on standard offer, and then the net metering, group net metering works on the other side.
In the discussions in Minnesota over the legislation for this, you know, solar standard offer, for lack of a better term, the rural cooperatives, electric utilities, are some of the biggest opponents. And one of their arguments, which I think is going to be important for us, is, you know, we don't really have a lot of extra, you know, need for capacity. That, you know, electricity sales are flat, and we're invested in long-term contracts and other things. Why should we be buying new renewable energy?
We're going to be moving to an electrified energy system. And so when the co-ops, you know, we hear that here in Vermont too. The co-ops are some of our biggest detractors, which is weird because they're owned by the people and they should be supporting this stuff. But the real thing that's going to be happening as we electrify more of our heating and transportation, and when I mean transportation, even in rural Vermont, we're going to be electrifying the rail and other things. And in the long term, we're going to need probably three times as much electricity or more than we generate today. And if we're going to decarbon our electric supply, you know, especially where you guys are out in the Midwest, you can't be burning coal anymore. So there's a big change coming. And I think a lot of the utilities don't totally understand this new paradigm that's coming.
David, where can people go to learn more about what it is that you do in Vermont?
Our website is allearthrenewables.com, and that tells a little bit of the story about who we are and where we came from and our history from wind to solar and what we do and why we do it.
That was John Farrell and David Blittersdorf of All Earth Renewables discussing Dave's hopes for improving and expanding Vermont's standard offer program. It was also the last episode with help from our intrepid intern, Wade Underwood, without whom this podcast would never have been possible. We wish to thank Wade profusely for his help in launching this program. For questions or comments about the podcast, please email jfarrell@ilsr.org with local energy rules in the subject line. John's Twitter handle is John F. Farrell. This podcast was published on June 6th, 2013. Thanks for tuning in.